Hello and welcome back to the UFO and Alien Podcast. I'm Rick Black.
And I'm Robert Wiley.
And I just got a huge dose of deja vu.
Really? Maybe. I usually get vuja day. I've never been in this situation before.
Well, I was thinking maybe there's a glitch in the Matrix.
Oh, maybe so. You never know. We've had a lot of crazy things happening.
A lot of crazy things. Summer's upon us.
Yes.
It's getting hot out there.
It is hot here in Florida.
Yeah, it sure is. It's been a while since we played golf. Speaking of golf, you want to tell us a little story about a sticker?
So we're always, you know, talking about our stickers here. And I said a couple episodes ago, you want one of these stickers, especially if you play golf, because it's good luck.
Absolutely.
So my wife, who's now an avid golfer and listens to this podcast, of course, we gave her a sticker, or you gave her a sticker.
I gave
actually.
Her a sticker. Yeah.
Early on when we first started kind of playing golf.
She was listening before you were part of this.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was the beginning of a golf game. She told me that she was listening. She gave me, you know, she's like, I heard that you should, you know, believe none of what you hear and half of what you're hearing. So I knew she was listening. So I said, I need to give her a sticker. So I gave her a sticker.
Right.
At the beginning of the golf game.
And she shot the best golf she had shot since we started playing.
It was
because she put the sticker on her bag, golf bag.
It was amazing.
And played one of the most amazing rounds. So you want to hit us up and get one of those stickers. Because if it works for golf, it'll work for anything, right? Maybe that new job promotion.
Well, maybe golf's not your sport.
Right. Maybe
you
basketball.
Have another sport.
Maybe it's bowling.
Yeah, bowling.
Maybe it's swimming. Maybe it's armchair quarterbacks. Maybe it could help your team win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah.
You never know.
That reminds me of Oh God. Well, not Oh God. Bruce Almighty.
Right.
When he answered all
those prayers.
Yes. Everybody prayed and he just said yes to everybody and then everybody won the lottery.
Everybody won 4 cents in the lottery. That would be my luck if I ever won the lottery.
So everybody can't be a winner. Sorry. But yeah, you need one of these stickers.
Yes.
So we have two cases today. The one that I picked is from Varginha. Virginia, Brazil.
You like those hard ones, don't you? You like to have to really struggle with the names.
Well, Virginia.
All right, comrade. Thank
I'm just going to say
you.
Brazil. Oh, no, Brazil. I can say Brazil.
Yeah, very nice. We're going up to the Great White North, eh? We're going to go up to Canada and talk about an abduction case there from a guy named Kevin.
Okay, Kevin. All right. That's an Irish name. It's not a Canadian. Are there Canadian names like that are just Canadian?
Well, they would be more French, right? Because they're French Canadian.
Oh,
maybe.
That's right.
Maybe.
Like Pierre.
Yeah.
All right. You want to go first? I went first last time.
I'll go first. Yeah.
Okay.
So I told you a little bit about Kevin, and that's all we know. Obviously, after what has happened in his story, you know, he didn't want it out there too much. So I respect that. But this happened at North Canole Road. In the Yukon in Canada. So what was amazing when I was investigating this case and looking into it, he kind of has his own account, and I thought it would be cool to read his words instead of making it my own.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So everything you hear is his report and how he remembers the encounter that happened back in September of 1987, and he lived in Ross River, which I wish I knew Canada better, but I do not know where that is at. Mm-hmm. And he was headed up to the North Canole Road by himself. He was on his motorbike and he was going to do some moose hunting for the weekend. He was going to spend 3 days in the area between Sheldon Lake and Mac Pass. He says a guy I worked with and a friend of his were to leave a day later and I was to meet them for some fishing. They were all staying together at a trailer at Dewhurst Creek.
Okay.
Okay, so we got a lot of locations here.
So at this point, he's traveling alone.
He's alone.
Okay.
He's alone. So he left his home early in the morning. He said the temperature started to drop, started to rain very hard and very cold, much like you would think the Yukon in Canada would be in September.
No, I can't imagine what it would be like in September.
Right?
I'm moose a hunting, Florida boy.
Yeah, moose hunting has to be really good to get out in that kind of weather, right?
Yes.
So he gets to an area called Gravel Creek, and he stopped at the cabin. And he put on some extra clothes and while standing under an edge of this roof, because he knew the rain wouldn't stop, and he was traveling on motorbike and he headed off. And so he arrived at the trailer he was staying at about a half hour before dark. He was cold and tired. He ate supper, went straight to bed. He was looking forward to hunting the next day. He was really excited about that. He remembers that.
All right.
He said overnight, the rain stopped. September 3rd, daybreak, he's up. See, this is why I would never be a good hunter, because I can't get up at daybreak. Just the word daybreak sends chills down my spine. Okay. So he got his gear, his gun, got back on his bike and headed towards Mac Pass, which was a couple of miles down from the road from where he was staying. So he was going about 10 miles an hour, looking into the trees, watching the hillsides, and he decided he needed to stop. And he said he stopped where he could see some mountainsides and some valleys, and he parked on the right side of the road. He said the sun was shining, the air was perfectly still, but still a bit cool. And he was watching the mountains off to his south when he noticed to the left, out of the corner of his eye, he thought it was an airplane. It was 400 to 500 yards away, and it was about the size of a DC-3 plane or a full-size school bus. It was traveling from north to south at about 40 yards above the ground. He says moving about 30 kilometers. I'm not very good with the metric system.
He had yards in there a second ago.
Yeah, I know. He's messing with us.
Yeah.
He's messing with us.
The meters and the yards.
And he said the first thing that came to his mind is, man, that airplane is super low, you know. So he started blinking his eyes because he couldn't make out any tail fins or wings. Mm-hmm. So that's when things kind of started looking a little suspicious to him right then. He said what he did see was more of a cigar shape with portholes all along the side of it.
Well, it still could be a plane because at a certain angle,
you could see
except for the tail.
Right?
Right.
Had a gray stripe down the middle and a dark green on the top and the bottom. And he says, this is his words, I thought to myself, something's wrong with this picture. And then I realized there was no sound. If this was an airplane, the roar would have and should have filled the valley.
As low as it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So he watched. It seemed to partially dematerialize and then return to a solid form. And he says it did this as it was moving, and it did it several times. And he says, then it dawned on me, I don't think I should be seeing this. It's a UFO and probably doesn't want to be seen, which I think that's what I would say.
Like, okay. Yeah, okay.
He said he crouched down on the road and he hid behind some of the roadside grass. And then he watched it go behind a cone-shaped hill and not come out. He said he stood up and looked for it. He said he started feeling kind of excited and happy about what he had saw and thinking they didn't even know they were being watched. He thought maybe he kind of got away with one a little bit here on this one. He said he was standing beside his bike and he heard a loud metallic clunk behind him around the corner. And he thought, somebody's here. I got to tell him what I saw. He said, the noise I heard sounded like a heavy trunk lid on a car slamming shut. So I quickly walked along the edge of the road to the corner to see who was there. I came face to face. We're back to yards, about 20 yards. With two gray creatures.
Okay, the gray aliens.
Yep. Blue jumpsuits, about 5 feet tall, with big insect-looking heads, pointy faces, big eyes, thin arms, bodies, and legs. And he said, I immediately thought they're not little green men, they're grasshopper people. And he puts a note in his report that before this, all I knew about aliens was they were supposed to be little green men. So that's why it seemed so unusual to him. And it stuck out to him in his mind because these were not the little green men he was used to hearing about. He said at the same instant, the one on the left raised his left hand to his waist, which held some type of flashlight device. And he saw a bright flash of light come from it.
Okay.
So we're men in black right here.
The flashy thing.
So when he saw that light, he felt paralyzed instantly, and he was convinced that time had stopped. Everything was black. There was no sound. He says, I tried to yell no, but all that came out was a distorted grunt. The next thing I know, I was standing on the side of the road, scared, shaking, and confused. Within seconds, I remembered all of this that had just taken place and thought, I'm getting out of here before they get me again.
Okay.
He said, I turned around to get my bike, and for some reason, it was not there. And then I noticed it was on the other side of the road. And he's like, what the heck is this? I didn't put it there. He's still panicked. He rush overs, gets on his bike, realizes the keys were gone. And he's like, I always leave the keys in it. You know, I'm out moose hunting. I may need to make a quick escape. And he didn't want to lose them when he was sneaking around the bush. And he immediately started looking down the road and then suddenly saw that he had him actually in his hand.
Okay.
So he was a little dazed and confused at this point. He said he got on the bike, went back to the trailer. He said, I had a feeling of being scared but amazed at the same time. And then I noticed all the shadows of the trees were pointing in a different direction than that of the morning sun.
Okay, so he's lost like six hours, right?
Lost some time here, yeah. Right. He said about 15 minutes later, he was back at the trailer. Half an hour later, it was dark. And I thought to myself, no way. I only left here an hour ago. What's going on? So he's confused and decides at this point, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. I'm just going to forget the whole thing. They're going to think I'm nuts. I don't know what happened, but we're just going to forget about it. So he continues on with his evening, and he said, as he's eating, preparing dinner, he starts feeling these soft vibrations in everything in the trailer, from the air conditioner to the coffee pot going off. Just these soft vibrations. He's feeling these. Okay. And he thinks and feels very strongly that they were outside the window, but he didn't want to look out the windows because there was still that fear there. Okay. A little bit.
So the vibrations he's thinking is coming
exactly
from
the craft.
Okay. So
possibly. Okay. Or maybe the beings, but I think he thought the craft is there. They're there. They're watching me again. Now here's where it gets really interesting with this part of the story. Not that it wasn't interesting yet.
I was going to say, it's already pretty good.
He says, later that night, I couldn't sleep, and he was drinking a cup of coffee, and he began to what he called flashbacks of the events. And he remembers being in a dreamlike state, watching scenery flash by underneath as if he was flying. He says, I watched mountains and rivers and forests go by at a very high rate of speed. I then became aware of other sounds and seemed to wake up. I opened my eyes and could see nothing but black. Very deep, inky black. As I was looking at this, the blackness pulled back, revealing a face. I had been looking into the eyes of a gray type creature. I could hear in my mind a voice saying, there's nothing to worry about. I could actually hear him talking in my mind.
Okay. So this is his flashback. He's remembering.
Some things. Okay. Right. He said, there were three or four of these types walking around, but only one talked to me. The two I saw earlier on the road, I never saw again. He thought they kind of looked more insect, and he described these creatures as a little bit different. He said, I then set up and had an idea of what might be going on and asked, are you going to do experiments on me? And one said, they've already been done. And he said, I felt really good because except for a strange sensation in my hands, everything felt normal. I kept rubbing my hands together, but did not look at them as there was a totally strange environment to look at. Instead, I experienced no discomfort during the whole episode. The being nearest me asked if I would like to see my home planet. And I said, sure. I walked to a window where there was a machine that looked like a big copy machine. He asked me not to touch it, and I replied, don't worry, I'm not touching anything in here. It's not funny, Kevin. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just waiting for the home planet thing. Is his home planet Earth?
Earth, yeah. He then said, that bright white star is your home. I didn't know anything about astronomy at the time, but I always thought the Earth was blue, so right away I thought he's lying. He also explained to me about space and stars, but I can't remember much of it now. I was also asked if I would like to go on a trip. I replied, not yet. But at the time, I felt honored to be asked, but I didn't want to go. I felt the time was not right. Then I was told I would have to forget all of this. I was disappointed at hearing this. The first part of the experience was very scary, but once I was with them, I found them to be friendly, helpful, and their looks didn't bother me. They actually seemed like old friends. They gave me a clear glass, 3/4 cups full with yellow liquid and said to drink it. It would make me forget everything. And I told them I did not want to forget an experience like this. It should be remembered. I was told it was for my own good that I forgot, so I took 3 little sips and put the glass down. Next thing I knew, I was on the road by my bike, scared to death and wanting to get out of there. The next day, I met up with the other two guys and never said anything to them.
Until this story,
which he was at a UFO convention in Canada and met with a guy.
So that's the first time he said it? Was it a UFO convention?
Yes. All right. Some 15 years later.
So he didn't have regressive hypnotherapy?
No, sir.
Nothing like that?
None of that. But he did have something that everybody thought was kind of crazy in the sense that... he has these scoop marks in the palm of his hands that he claims were not there before this incident.
Scoop marks.
And there's a picture I'll have to show you the picture.
Okay.
But there's like these scoop marks that show what his hands look like now. Now, the only thing that gave me a little pause is we don't have any pictures of what his hands supposedly looked like before this incident before happened.
Okay.
A pretty interesting abduction case.
And what year was this?
This was back in the 80s, okay. 87, I believe. Let me double check. I don't want to be wrong here. Yeah, 1987 in September, the fall of 87.
Okay.
So it was around 2000 when he met up with some of the folks in the UFO community and was at a convention and started talking to a guy there that he felt very comfortable with. And the gentleman that helped him take this account and this witness account of what happened, mm-hmm. he felt very comfortable with him and felt that he was doing him right by explaining all of this.
Wow. Okay. So the only thing that bothers me is he was alone
right.
when all of this happened.
Right.
And it's really hard for me to believe somebody that was alone. And I'm glad he didn't have the hypnotic reference or regression.
Right.
Because I believe that those ideas can be planted.
Right.
So I'm glad that's not part of it.
Right.
But it's interesting that he remembers a lot.
Right.
Taking the three small sips of whatever, and then he doesn't remember anything after that.
Right. And then he has the problems.
Yeah. I remember going into surgery, and the anesthesiologist comes in, and he says, "This isn't going to put you to sleep. This is just going to relax you." And I don't remember anything right. after that. But I wasn't asleep, apparently, but I don't remember. So I believe that there are things that you can take that will keep you from remembering.
Remembering things. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I guess what caught my attention with this one is the details he had in it, which he could have a very vivid imagination. It's not hard.
Right.
But I felt like, I don't know, there was something about the way he told his story, and that's why I didn't want to change it. I wanted to read, everything we were talking there was his account and his words. And it's like we've talked before. I think the people that believe, they really believe this happened. And I don't know if it did or not, but he certainly has a story to tell. And like you said, the first thing that popped out to me was, yeah, but you were alone. That's so hard to prove.
And the only evidence he has are the little scoop marks.
Right.
Yeah.
So, we're taking a leap of faith and believing all of it. But it's definitely an interesting story.
But he does say a lot of the same things mm-hmm. That a lot of people that have been abducted, missing time.
Right.
A lot of the regular stuff. We're going to go to Virginia.
It's just Brazil.
I'm just going to say Virginia because that's what it sounds like. Virginia. There's three girls. Okay. I got three girls in my story.
Three girls.
And they're walking home with their... They're walking home from work, but their ages are between 14 and 22. So I don't know how young they start working.
Right. Well, apparently 14.
Well, I don't know. It could be going earlier than that. Yeah. But these three girls are walking home, and they see a creature. Looks like it's injured.
Mm-hmm.
And it is some sort of alien. Right off the bat, right there.
Right.
Okay. So they don't know what it is.
It's not the chupacabra?
No, I got it. Let me show you a picture.
Okay.
I'm going to show you a picture of this thing. This is an artist rendition as described. They said it had horns on its mm-hmm. head, had red eyes, had like a gray body. Here you go. They don't look like horns to me. They look like ridges. But I've seen that picture about 100 times, and I've been wanting to talk about this story and just because of the picture.
Right. That's a gnarly picture.
Yeah,
that's something you would see like an Alien versus Predator. It almost looks like the Predator a little bit without maybe the locks, the dreadlocks.
Yeah. So, these three girls they're walking home. They describe it as large headed biped, spots like veins on the skin, some bumps on its head. Eyes were two red balls. The creature later termed the ET of Virginia, Virginia,
Brazil,
seemed to be whoop, I'm dropping stuff, wobbly, or I'm steady. And the girls assumed that it was injured or sick. Mm-hmm. They said they fled. They ran. They went home and told their mothers, and they said that they'd seen the devil.
Right.
The devil himself. Rumors began to spread throughout the area. Some people claiming to observe UFOs days prior. Mm-hmm. Later claims were made of additional unidentified creatures being collected and observed at a hospital. Hmm. The military comes in and captures some aliens. So it's kind of like a story that kind of got out of control.
Right.
So what are we talking about here? There was one claim that the initial creature witnesses wasn't, well, let me say, ufologists would later allege links between these and other claims, including the claim that one of the initial creature witnesses was impregnated by the creature.
Wow.
It's getting a little far-fetched.
Right. But, yeah. We're getting into horror sci-fi here.
All kinds of stuff. Official inquiry led by the Brazilian military conducted in 2010. Did I tell you when this was happening? It was
1996. Okay.
The young women had encountered a homeless, mentally unstable man nicknamed Mudinho. The commander of the 24th Police Battalion Military presented photographs, a citizen known as Mudinho. So they were saying, this is not an alien. This is a mentally deranged mental patient.
Okay.
Okay, so
That's a possibility.
That's absolutely possible.
Right.
But let me tell you what's going on with this down here. They just go, oops, I can't scroll that down. They just go full-fledged, we're a UFO town now.
Right. They just buy into it. They're the Roswell Brazil.
They have gray alien dolls with football uniforms. They're sold at the location of the incident. Gray alien designs were used in advertising campaigns for the municipality. Bus stops were built in the form of spaceships, and a 20-meter tall water tower with a disc-shaped water reservoir was erected in the town center called the Nave Especial de Varginha.
Look at that. That was good.
Get close to it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Brazilian government denied conspiracy theorists' claims that it was hiding evidence of extraterrestrials. What do you think of that? I got three witnesses.
You got three witnesses.
But this is less believable than yours.
That's what I was about to say. This sounds like a tourism department in full gear, the way they bought in to try to put their name on the map.
Well, I like the fact that the girls saw something. The right. girls believed what they saw. They went home and said they saw the devil.
Right.
But it is definitely plausible that they saw something
right.
that's ordinary. They've just never seen anything like that before. Maybe they're the frame of mind or the way they saw it, the lighting, mm-hmm. the shadows.
Did it say what time of day it was when they saw it?
They're on the way from home from work.
Okay.
So thinking late afternoon. Let me see. I'm going to see if I don't think it did.
Because, you know, sometimes if it's dusk, things could you know.
Oh,
it could play tricks on your, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, you see. And if you're tired, if you've worked a lot, you know. But it is a little, I mean, both of our stories, although very interesting, a lot of stuff coming out of there, are a little bit harder to believe in the realm, I think, because even, I mean, three girls can get together and put together a story, right?
They could, but would they? What purpose would that
be? That's true.
They were, you know, they ran home to their mothers and said they saw the devil.
Right.
They didn't run home to their mothers and say, hey, mm-hmm. we just saw an alien.
Yeah. So maybe it's the effects of after that. It got through the town and then everybody else kind of went crazy with the stories and things of that nature. And that's where it really got out of it. And so lost in all of that was what really happened.
Absolutely.
Their story could be true, but because of all the fanfare.
I love how the town kind of embraced this. And it's the Brazilian Roswell. I like the way you said that. You coined that. But I'm looking at this water tower that looks like a spaceship. Let's see if you can turn. I can turn this around and show that to you. I mean, they really bought into it. They loved it.
What a great and so and that's before selfies. So now, you know, everybody's going to Virginia, Brazil. Or where?
Varginha.
Varginha. I thought you were Russian when you were first talking about that. You know, so now they got a great backdrop for a great selfie.
I apologize to anyone in Brazil for butchering the name of this town. I apologize.
It's English all the way.
Well, for you. Let's see. I Me can too. Say hola.
Hola.
Cerveza. Cerveza and baño.
There you go.
That's all my other language.
Well, certainly two interesting stories we had this week.
Absolutely.
But I think we're both kind of on the side on believability. There's some things plausible in that, but there's also some things that make you give pause that make it kind of hard to put all, you know, jump in head first and go, yep, that happened.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Two great stories. I'm on board.
So, you know what we always say here?
But believe none of what you hear and half of what you read.
Exactly. And we'd also like to say, if you like the show, we would like to encourage you to help us out. You can do that by just $3 a month. You can go to the website, click on support. We would super really appreciate it. And it would go a long way with us. We'd be happy to give you a shout out. In addition to that, we can send you one of those awesome good luck UFO and alien podcast stickers. We told you the story earlier. You want to get in on this now. They're really cool. You're going to want one. You can put it anywhere, your laptop, your golf bag, the back of your car window. Wherever you need good luck, it will follow you with this sticker. And also, we'd like to encourage you, our listeners, to interact with us. If you have a story that you would like to tell us, we'd love to hear from you. If there's a case you would like us to look into deeper, let us know. We'd be happy to do it. And you can share your stuff with us by sending us an email at ufoandalienpodcast@gmail.com. So that's going to wrap it up for us this week. I'm Robert Wiley.
I'm Rick Black.
See you next time.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.